Hello, hello, hello. We're back. Good evening, and welcome to Perceptions of the Arcane. Tonight, Joy and Cass are coming back to talk with me on their second part of what they wanted to talk about, which was hanging with the messengers, making friendships with the messengers, and I think in the second half of the show, we were going to discuss symbolism and how that can help you get through your life. You know, since the last time we talked, we've talked, the girls and I, about several things, and you always think that maybe something like this you aren't able to reach or you can't actually speak with the messengers or the guys, but I actually believe you can. I just think everybody has a certain tune, vibration, that they can reach, like Cass and Joy reach their own vibration, which is much different than what I do, which is just I'm more of a medium type, and they're on the messenger area where they hang with them and they just, you know, party. And sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's not so fun. And sometimes it's happy and sometimes it's sad. But there's always a reason why the messengers do what they will. So I'm going to just go ahead and bring on Cassie and Joy.
Good evening.
Hello.
My sister and I wanted to discuss what friendships with messengers is like. And one thing we find is that it is very much like you and I. It's anyone can reach them. Anyone, if they really, really try, can reach them. And the way it's explained, my sister and I find, is sometimes a little bit difficult. Like what says, it's kind of like, it's, okay, if you hear a thought that sounds like it's in another voice, or it's something you wouldn't have thought of, or it's something that's almost foreign to you, then you are more than likely hearing a messenger speak with you.
Sometimes, even in the form of improv with something, you could be having an improv conversation with yourself, and without knowing it, you're actually improving with another messenger.
So that's why I actually forgot to mention, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't know exactly how to go about it. That's probably the best way to describe it. It's another form of it I think it's easier to describe for me is it's almost like daydreaming. When you start, like, your vision starts to fade out a bit, and you kind of start seeing what would be real-time interaction in another world, maybe in what to you would be a movie, a game, and you're interacting with a character, then you have more than likely had an interaction with a messenger that day or for the days that you have done so. And there's nothing wrong with it. And one of the biggest focal points of expressions with messengers is that when you befriend them, you'll find very quickly that while it is a lot of fun, there's times where they're going to want you to be serious too. And they are going to find the times with you to relax and enjoy things when necessary. But when there are times that something serious is going on, they are going to try and get you to pay attention to that matter and deal with it as soon as possible.
Right. Actually, with what we were just talking about as well, about what how you put it is, similar to daydreaming, but seeing
yeah.
it numb. See, that was what we touched a little bit on, I think, in the last episode about how they take forms of things in the media. I think to make a clear explanation of that, a messenger will mimic an appearance of a character or anything of that matter because you can, if it's something you can relate to.
It's like a form of a comfort, like someone that you've idolized, maybe you wanted to talk to, and they've, I guess over the thousands of years that characters had come into creation by human minds, they assume the images of these characters because it's a character you might, like my sister just said, relate to, want to talk to, you idolize, because in a way that's smart. It's someone that you'll approach.
And more often than not, the messenger itself relates to the character it's portraying. So,
yeah, it goes both ways.
Let's say that the character is a misunderstood, moody sort of person, so to speak, and maybe you understand it because you get in that same position, but the messenger itself that took it understands that because it either went through a phase like that before or it currently is.
So in a way, they end up acting kind of like that friend that you've been through that situation, and so have they. So they know how to speak to you on that subject, and they get really close and really intimate with you on that subject, and it makes it easier on both of you because both of you can learn and grow together.
Right. So if you really just if you quiet down and you listen, and if you hear something going through your head, even if it sounds ridiculous, don't just shrug it off. Don't just say, oh, that sounds too weird. because it's probably trying to communicate with you at that point.
I think the message here that I think is also really important is, I was thinking about this upstairs actually before we came on, which was that messengers, when they're trying to get you to do something, it's not because it's of their best interest. Like, there's a lot of beliefs out there that say, oh, well, my belief, I have to do something, or I have to abstain from something because maybe my gods or whatever you follow believe that if I do something, it means I'm bad or I'm doing something bad. And it's usually minor stuff, like stuff that seems ridiculous, like music is bad or music's a horrible thing to like or perform or something like that. And usually if a messenger is trying to get you to correct something, it's nothing like that. It's usually because it's something that you're hurting yourself or others with. Like, for instance, maybe you drink way too much. Maybe your habits are getting so deep in, like smoking, that it could kill you, or you've driven away people by irritable habits. Like, if you have an explosive temper, they might try to help you calm that down. And it's never, they would never say to you it's because it's of their interest only, but because they want to make sure that you don't hurt yourself. And of course, they can never directly tell you what to do or how to do it, but they can give you the suggestion. In the end, that decision is up to you.
Right. But like Joy was just saying, for your best interest, they're going to try hard to make sure that you get yourself in check or you make sure you're okay. They can't force it. They can suggest it. But they, if they're close enough to you, they don't like watching self-destructive behavior.
And even if for some reason you do choose that path, depending on the messenger, maybe they have a little bit more of an irritable attitude, or maybe they're more likely to give up on someone, then that wasn't really a strong friendship. But there are some of them that, even though they know you're going through a really hard time, they will stick with you through to the end. And, you know, anyone would hope not, or forbid that it would happen, but if something happened that you passed away and they happen to come pick you up or come see you, they're going to be there to talk to you about it and hopefully help you get over the experience when you pass on to that side, or try to help you learn from it while you're over there. It kind of becomes a really nice support from them.
Right. I had it and I lost it.
I know the feeling.
Don't feel bad. I've always lost it. Okay.
I remember.
I was going to say, actually, with what Joy was saying about some of them might be more irritable, that's where it kind of starts to fall into how there are so many different kinds of messengers that you just have to find which kind you actually are comfortable with or which ones you mingle well with.
That was another subject I touched on. What you put out is what you're more likely to attract, and that can actually be read symbolically, we just discussed.
Yeah.
Where my sister made a very valid point that I liked, where those who are more reserved, or literally the symbol translates to perfect angels, you're more likely to attract an angel type. And usually the ones we've met are usually more reserved. But there are some of them, it's pretty level with any breed of them.
Yeah.
There's going to be some of them that are more outspoken, which my sister and I know of. And then there's going to be ones who are still more reserved.
Yeah.
But there's, what?
Doesn't that come along the same lines as what you put out there comes back? Like, if you put out negative thoughts, negative circumstances come back. If you put out positive intentions, positive things come back. Like with people.
Similar. Negatively, though, I'd say you might call in, it depends on what you're doing, though. What, you could call in a punisher, you could call in something.
Yeah, like, on my subject part of this, there are messengers that are often misguided, and usually in that case they're young.
Yeah.
It's usually a pretty rare circumstance. It's hard to come across them. And when you do, usually any messenger friends you've made can help you deal with them, or you may have to deal with them on your own. To attract a punisher, you had to have really done something wrong.
Like, exactly.
If you get out of control where you're actually physically hurting people, or you start to threaten it, or you start getting way out of control, or perhaps you're the kind of person that, like my sister and I are, you happen to have telekinetic or telepathic abilities.
Yeah, but can't that be that you can attract a punisher or a punishment messenger if you have bad intentions on a psychological level?
That too.
Yes.
Any sort of damage to some other person or yourself, and you start letting it get out of control, or you start indulging in very negative acts or attitudes or perhaps addictions, they will start to show up to temper you if that path is necessarily called for.
And yes, we're going to be honest, that can result in physical pain, violent nightmares, terrifying nightmares. I'm missing something, aren't I? Misfortune.
It's better to be honest, though, and that's one of the biggest things that the messengers tout, and I agree with it, is that what kind of friend would lie to you anyway?
Right.
And
I know one.
What?
You said what kind of friend would lie to you.
Friend lies to you.
They say they're your friend, and they masquerade as they're your friend, but they're really not. They have a whole hidden agenda.
But then that is no friend.
Yeah, it's not friend.
Right. That's what I said, i.e. no friend.
And where was I at?
We were talking about punishment messengers.
Yeah, you were talking about
I'm
that.
Trying to remember where I was going to go with it, and I lost it.
Well, then move on to your next one.
It's kind of hard. I can't just jump from there.
All right. While they're gathering their thoughts together, I'm just going to say my voice is going again. I don't know why. Might be a punishment messenger. I don't know.
Did you say something wrong?
Who knows? I might be. No, I don't know. It's my throat. It's the allergies. But I do know that I'm not sure if this falls under the same line. Punishment messengers...
I remember what I was going
to
say. No,
wait, let me finish this a minute. Punishment messengers don't bring pain or can bring pain if you're going down the wrong path. Like I said that one time, I felt like I couldn't walk, and then once I changed up and saw what was going on, I felt better.
See, the thing I like about that is they're never doing it just to hurt anybody. And it's not like I'm not going to lie, it's not like the biblical interpretation of, oh, you didn't do everything that the Bible wanted. You didn't do anything that God wanted or whatever. It's literally, they're going after you because, like I said, you're either hurting someone, hurting yourself, or you've stepped way out of boundaries. Like, perhaps you're pushing on people, or you're trying to become really hateful or negative or violent.
Okay, I have to ask a question.
What?
Do punishment messengers go after people who have hurt you?
Yes.
If authorized, yes.
Usually I'd imagine, because like any one of the ones we've met and talked to, anybody is punishable by any kind of violent or harsh act, and that's usually pretty much even field.
Especially if it's becoming repetitive or it's happening frequently.
Perhaps, usually if you do it once and perhaps you learn from it, they let you off. But if you keep doing it where you seem to be getting off on the power of it or the power of intimidation, pain, violence, so on and so forth, then they'll start to get on you and cause nightmares or cause misfortune.
It kind of sounds like an ethereal prison camp or something, you know?
Sort of is.
It's no different from, I guess, in a way what karma is, where you start pushing all the negative, it just comes back on you eventually.
Like, I'm going to say this. It's not necessarily punishment related, but it does prove that... messengers alone, even if they're not punishment, can do something to you if they don't want you doing something. Like, there was a point, I don't remember, I think it was last year, where I was going to try a wine. And I don't condone alcoholism. So at the time, it was just where I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe I'll like it. And I tried a small bit of it. Now, I didn't like it. So I went to rinse my mouth out with water. One tiny speck flew into the back of my throat and choked me, and I couldn't breathe for, like, I don't know, a minute. It feels so much longer, but it had to be, like, a minute. And I could feel them all just standing there watching as much as be like, don't you do it again.
Those are the warnings I've seen before, too. There was actually one time a few years ago that, because I wasn't getting my own way, I considered overdosing on pills. And when I went to go get the bottle to spill out the medicines, it got smacked right out of my hand. And there was one specific messenger, and that, believe it or not, was St. Nail. And he corrected me and told me that there was no reason for that. And he was right, because, like he said, any of those problems would dissipate with time. Whereas, because it was the fact that I liked somebody. And because he didn't like me back, I was having a fit. And it went on for a little over a year. And like you said, that's just drastic. You don't need to do that. And after I'd been talked down out of it, I was okay over it.
You know, in some ways, when we've talked about religious subjects, and it's always a touchy subject, but what I'm trying to say is, like, punishment messengers, there is no religious constraint.
No.
When you're going on the human level, like down here on the ground on Earth, and you have the Vatican City and the Pope and the priest and the cardinals and everything, I'm not dissing anybody who believes in the religion, but they have this way of just control mechanism. Like, when you pass, if you're not good, you're going to hell. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But at least the messengers, punishment messengers, whatever, they're cool about it.
And
they're like, you're going to get it now. We're not going to wait till you die.
And it's never eternal. I want to make a note of that. When they see that you've improved your behavior or you're actually trying, they let you go.
Yeah, like, if you did do something and you come home, you can still be punished and probably will be, but it's not eternal. You'll be let go when they see improvement.
And one of the greatest things about that is they never continue to shun you or pick on you. Once you've actually proven yourself and you even have a good outlook on your own self, your own mind, your own soul, then they actually start to become a friend to you and they will understand you for how it is. They never just turn their back on you and say, well, I can never be friends with you after that. They all look to be there and be the crying shoulder if you needed it.
Right. And also back, I wanted to add, when I was talking about what they've done at some low points of our lives, yes, it may come across as aggressive, but it is powerful. They care enough about you to want to make sure you're not going to do it again, or they want to get through to you where they're not, like, dancing around it. They're not trying to hint at it. They will be straight up about it, right in your face, if they have to be.
See, I wanted to word it that way. Thank you, because I couldn't get it that way. My head's never really working.
That's fine.
There is, though, a bunch of different methods that some messengers take. It's not always necessarily that a punishment messenger has to go after you. If they're after you, it's usually because you've done something really, really wrong.
Yeah.
However, other messengers that are just as equal-minded often can also go after you. In this case, like, let's say that you haven't done anything really, really wrong yet, other than maybe you're getting aggressive, maybe you've become depressive, maybe you've become doubtful. Some of them have different ways of approaching you. Like, maybe they know that if they're too aggressive with you, it won't work. So some of them are more gentle with a personality, which also leads into each different messenger has a different personality that works better with others.
Right.
See, I was just getting ready to say that, because I was going to ask you, okay, punishment messengers, we know what they are. But then there are also, I think, what, helpful ones, ones that come to, like, maybe show you need to heal. Maybe nurturing ones, you know. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Technically, I have a story based on that. I mean, any messenger can take that position if they're led to it. Some of them come unwittingly into your life and fulfill that progress, because there's been ones that have come here and never even realized that they helped us with something until last moment.
Yeah.
And the same vice versa for maybe us to them, because there are times that us, even as humans, can help a messenger, because in their path, there's things they have to learn too, or experiences that they need to garner, and sometimes the only way that can be offered is by us. The story that I was talking about was back in 2012 when I had almost been assaulted. Ever since then, which is half of why I don't think well, I have PTSD. And which year was it? I think it was 2013. Yeah, it was 2013. My husband, Boris, which we're going to talk a little bit about romantic relationships with messengers, hopefully another time.
Yeah.
And he put out a call for a messenger that could help me with my anxiety, because he couldn't do it. He doesn't have the personality type for it. Like, he's great with me. I love him, and he takes good care of me mentally and physically when he can, because that's a difficult feat for a messenger to connect that physically with the Earth. And they put about, what was it, I think a week, 2 weeks later?
Yeah.
Council had put out for a messenger to come here, and his name is Martius.
Yeah.
He is a plant messenger, and he was actually the one who sparked my love and interest for gardening.
And funny thing was, he was a bit of a jerk, too, when he came here.
Yeah,
so
he was.
He changed drastically over time.
Building a bond with him, he actually really started to change. We grew really close to each other. We've been close ever since. He helped me build my garden, front and back of the house. And much like the wise words he often has to offer me when I'm really, really down, he helps a lot by means of gardening, because it gardening to me is very, very relaxing, and I wouldn't have known that hadn't it have been for him. And ever since then, I think I've been doing well to keep the PTSD under control.
Admittedly, plant messengers are one of my favorites because they can be very intricate in the way they appear. A lot of them play off of different flowers, but the thing is, so many of them are vain. I mean, look at them. They're flowering. They're beautiful. they think they're all that. So you kind of figure out which ones you can talk to and just know a lot of them are going to be vain or arrogant if they're a plant man or plant woman.
I think it's very important to note that messengers are not all the image of what would be similar to angels. Very much of them, like we learned, are actually much like breeds of beings from different universes. Like, maybe some are similar to humans in behavior. Some of them are more like animals. Then you have dragons on another realm. Perhaps in another realm or same realm, you have fairies and you have goblins, you have demons with quotation marks.
You have
they
unicorns,
take after it.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have all kinds of them. There's even ones that we can't comprehend.
I have seen unicorns, phoenix, everything you can imagine.
And
more than.
Yeah, if you want to make it worse, there's ones that can't even be comprehended.
Which I just mentioned, where it's you can't really pick up on the image. You can understand that they come from a different plane or almost a different universal habitat, but it's one of those where you can't fully grasp the understanding, no matter how hard you try, and it hurts you to try. Where was I going now? It plays well into the aspect of each one of them has their own unique abilities, talents, personalities, and so there's going to be ones who connect with you well, and ones who don't. And it, like I said, it's the same as you and I as humans, where maybe one person might like the other person's way of thinking or hanging out or talking or whatever. Maybe someone else might disagree with that, so you don't really get along. You don't click.
Right. Well, let me think of a good thing here. I had an idea to explain one of these, and then I kind of lost it a little bit. On the aspect of breeds of these guys, I guess that's an adventure in itself because you meet so many different breeds, like from known things like demons to angels to vampires to plant men and women to fairies, then things as obscure as appliances and furniture.
And the great thing about that, like we said before, they don't ever pertain themselves to one religion. They go to any person that might call to them. It doesn't matter. They don't belong to any specific religion. They may mimic an image from one of any kind.
Right.
Because they relate to it or whichever, or maybe they were born from that lineage, but it doesn't necessarily mean they can only talk to that type of person.
Right. Let me see. Angel messengers, from what we've seen so far, like we said, are pretty reserved. You can talk to them. They can be laid back if you're willing to listen.
I forgot another important message I wanted to add in there was, I think another big thing is they want to break down the religious wall, and I agree with that.
They do.
Everyone should learn to see it as their own personal belief. I mean, whether or not they gathered that from whichever belief they learned from, whether it be from a Bible, from another word of mouth, they should take in the information, but if there's something that they think they personally believe within that realm, make it their own personal belief. Never live word per word from what someone else tells you to live.
Right. Demon messengers, their breed, they're pretty chill.
I learned a lot about them because I studied demonology at the time when I was really, really religious. And I think the one thing I came to find that I adore, much like my husband, Barith, is that while some of them might appear aggressive on the outside, you'll find that the closer you get to them, the friendlier they actually are. And usually what they represent, whether it's greed, envy, lust, whichever, if it's like a really negative version of those habits, then they're likely opposing it. And they're usually posing or standing in as that, like much like an inner demon that you might have in this case on a symbolic aspect. Maybe you have issues with greed. They're there because they are trying to tell you that it's either hurting you or other people, and you're going to spiral downward if you're not careful, and they will try to help you to go against it. They're never there to hurt you. They're there to let you know that this is what you need to stop doing.
Right, and I was going to explain that. You explained that very, very well.
I remember there was a time we always thought that once a messenger finished their job here, that meant you couldn't talk to them anymore. And this is how we actually started building friendships with a lot of them, because after that we started finding out we missed them when they weren't there. We missed talking to them. And they made it clear to us after time that you never have to stop talking to them just because they finished their job
right.
with you.
And sometimes you learn they miss you too.
Exactly.
Oh, I know. Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
I'm trying to remember what it was.
Uh-oh, brain freeze again.
I'm always having that.
Well, if that's the case, and we're on a brain freeze moment or a brain readjustment moment, let's take a little break. As a matter of fact, let's take a 2 minute and 29 second break for Cass and Joy to get their head back together and their thoughts back in. And they'll be coming back in, closing up with their thoughts on this, and opening up with some thoughts on symbology. We'll be right back in 2 minutes, 29 seconds. I think we will be. Anyway, here we are. We're back again. And I think we've all reset, and everybody has their thoughts together. So, all right, Cass and Joy, here we go.
Okay, it's unfortunate that we froze up like we did at the end of the last segment, but I guess that just means it's time to move on to symbolism since we couldn't pick our brains for any more of the last subject.
Right. Though I was going to ask if I could finish up an unfinished knot that I had at the beginning of this whole thing.
Go ahead.
All I wanted to say was that different people mingle better with different types of messengers or all these different groups of them. Like, that's when I first started out by saying how most angels are reserved or, you know, deal better with what Joy said about the, how did you read that symbolically?
It's literally that if you deal with those kinds of messengers, you're likely trying to see yourself as a perfect angel, where you're more reserved or you're more uptight. Maybe you don't allow yourself to do as many things. I didn't get to finish up, now that I think about it, saying about anime messengers being that the people involved with them are usually very animated, where you might be more expressive, you might be more fun-loving, more apt to do things that are outlandish.
Or sometimes, like them, you're quiet and mysterious around people. Unless they get into your shell and they're close with you, then you'll see more of the animated side.
Exactly.
Because that specific type or that specific crowd is usually what fills this house. Joy and I get along better with those types. Specifically.
Exactly.
We do have other types of messengers in our friend circle, but those are the main ones that are usually circulating this house.
And really quick, one last thing I want to add on that is you'll find that if you befriend one messenger, maybe a year or two from now, you'll have 100 instead of one. Because my sister and I continue every day to make more friends, even without really focusing on it. There's been ones that maybe we talk about a show or a game that we played, and maybe a messenger involved with the series comes in to check us out because they happen to hear about us and the fact that we were interested in the game and their character. So when you get to know one, that leaves a door open for 101.
Right. The least luck we've had with a group is the Creepy Kid group, because these messengers came from when I was working on a series called Creepy Kid School, and It takes all these different kids. I'm sorry, I got distracted by something.
Yeah.
It takes all these different kids from horror movies and whatnot. You know, all the popular ones, Damien Thorne.
Yeah, the ones called Creepy Kids.
The Girl from The Ring, whatnot. They aren't really that fun, actually. They don't do anything. They try to be strict about what they do.
They're more about intimidation.
And as their form would basically imply, they can get quite childish sometimes, and especially play off intimidation.
They're ones that I think are more likely to be attracted to people with negative outlooks on life that, much like them, are very uptight or are more about intimidating people. As far as I know, there is a couple that were okay from that group, like Reagan, for instance, that we knew.
Yeah. But for the most part, I guess that worked at the time because we were kind of cynical about everything.
We were very, very depressive about things.
All right, so on to symbolism, right?
Yeah, of course. There's quite a few symbols, I think, to start with. And I think one of the most important things to start with on the subject is that one of the most important things you can do with a dream is try to be as thorough as possible. If you can remember anything, try to put together the details as you can. Like, perhaps, let's say in a dream, when you were doing something, were you jumping? Like, maybe you were doing jumping jacks, like, around a swing, like, back and forth over the swing. Maybe you are kicking something, like a ball over a fence or into someone's face. Perhaps you were picking up a turtle and aggressively shaking it or something like that. This is things I'm rattling off from the top of my head, which, that's another important thing. You'll find that if you're thinking of something that seems odd or strange off the top of your head, congratulations. You've likely heard or concocted a message. And the one I can see very clearly for the last one, if you're picking up and shaking a turtle, it's probably because you're seeing yourself as you're going too slow. You're not progressing fast enough the way that you'd like to. So you're trying to shake things up a little. And this can usually be seen as a very aggressive or negative approach to this habit.
Right. And I was going to say, like, that can, if you're doing it that way, like, if it's anger, it can express frustration against that, the fact that you're too slow.
You can't shake it.
That's yeah.
Another thing is a term, if it doesn't stop the behavior.
Right.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to think of one. Like, I know there's a bunch of good symbols I have, but I can never get them off the top of my head.
I think it's harder to try and find the lower grade symbols because, you know, when I think about it, let's just look around the room for a minute. I'm pretty sure we're bound to find an easy symbol just looking at the room. For instance, any form of light, like a lamp, a flashlight. I mean, each one has a different distinct meaning, but the main theme of them is usually to bring light to something, like a flashlight. You're supposed to shine your light on something in order to see it.
Right.
A book, perhaps there's some kind of knowledge. Maybe you need to brush up on something or find out more about a particular subject, person, or whichever. Perhaps, let's see. What else is in here?
You know what would be interesting would be if one day I brought along one of my actual dreams or something, and it was one that I could translate well, and read it.
We should both do that one day. That would actually be a very good idea for translating some symbolism to people.
Yeah, that'd be great, because then we could basically read through it and, as we go, tell you guys, like, what the symbols mean, what it meant, what happened afterward. So,
I wanted to mention, there was one here I was looking at. Oh, yeah, a picture frame, for instance. Perhaps somebody is yelling at you while holding a framed picture of you. It's literally saying that someone is framing you for something.
Yeah,
it's one of the easiest symbols to read. And it's funny because there's been times where they've used a really simple symbol, and I've never noticed it. It just went right over my head until I was awake for a while, or maybe 1, 2, 3 days later, I go like, oh, I get it.
Oh, my God, I'm going to go take that picture down on the mantle tonight.
Let me think about it. I did have a dream a couple days ago. I'm not sure that it's whether or not it's a touchy subject. It's a little hard to say. It was one of the gift kids.
Oh.
They were literally in present boxes, so I was like, oh, that's an easy one to read. Let me think about it. There's probably
one. Well, yeah, some people don't get that. Now you've put yourself in a position where you have to say it. You see what you've done?
Well, yeah, see, put yourself.
Okay, well, then I'm going to do it anyway, because it's not really meant to be insulting, and it never was. Literally in the dream, there was supposed to be these kids that I was protecting, and there was supposed to be one of our neighbors' kids, or a group of them, and their friends. Each one of them was said to have some kind of special ability, and there were some of them, and they were supposed to be, there were some of them that did have a little bit of, sort of similar to mental disorders, and the theme in the dream was that I had to protect them. So, we were all running from Voldemort, who was in the dream.
Oh, God, it's the Harry Potter
thing. And in the dream, I was in the basement, and we jumped in from a portal that led into our basement. And our neighbor was there, who was the grandmother of some of the kids. And she told them to jump up on their back and hold on. And about 7 of them, I think, managed to get on their back, 6 of them, I think. And she pretty much flew up the basement stairs and out a portal that would lead them somewhere else in the house that would get them at least away from Voldemort. There was one of them that ran up behind, and then there was one that was really lagging behind because he just stalled. And I was like, I don't want this kid to fall behind. I want him to have a chance at life. So I picked him up, and the minute I picked him up, he turned into a present box. And I registered it that way. And I picked up the present box, and I put him up on the top of the stairs, and the grandmother leaned out and took him into the portal so he'd be safe. And before I could get myself out, the door slammed shut behind me, and I turned around, and Voldemort was there, and I remember the first thing he said was, "Where is your mother?"
Oh, good God, I'm running for it.
I went to fight him, but in turn, I got kidnapped, and the rest of the dream was pretty much that my sister and mother had to go and put up a search to help get me back. It was kind of like in a video game style, like Final Fantasy, where they'd have to fight enemies to eventually get to me and rescue me from Voldemort. Now, I didn't understand the present boxes until I woke up, and I was mad because I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, I get it. They literally are saying gifted. And that makes me so mad because I was like, I didn't pay attention to it right away until I was told. It's somewhere in the back of your head when you start thinking and the wheels start turning, and you're like, oh, I get it.
Right. Like, there's some really cryptic things they throw in there, and there's a couple that I didn't get until, like, 3, 4 years later.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing a lot of this as I'm writing out my book right now, where I'll come across a dream I have to transcribe into it, and I'm like, oh, I didn't understand that then. Or like, oh, I get it. There was a pun. Funny. Great.
I want to make something clear really quick, but go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's all right.
Messengers in dreams can come across as insulting. It is never deliberate. It is unfortunately the only way they can convey certain symbols to you. Whether or not it comes across as offensive, they often don't really care because it's their job. What are they going to do?
I remember there was, it's small, but there was a point where I was looking for, like, an internet file in a dream of one of our friends, Elagos, and it tells me that the file cannot be found because it is elsewhere. It says where, it spells where, like, as in software. But then I wake up like, oh no, you didn't, just elsewhere. Why
would you do that?
They will often make puns off of names or off of objects or sayings. I think idioms and puns is probably some of the biggest things they use. There was a dream I actually had back in 2012. I had a lot of anxiety dreams, which only makes sense coming with what happened to me. And this is before we met a guy who had been really detrimental in our life for a little bit, and you'll remember him.
Yeah.
He tried to get us to sign into, like, a really fake contract with him.
Yeah.
I had a dream just a day prior to meeting him. And at the very end of it, I was in the kitchen, and I remember that there was a lot of smoke, and the world outside around us was supposed to be burning down, or it was the end of the world. And that's another thing I'm going to discuss really quick, is literally seeing the end of the world in dream can mean quite a few things to some people, but you can literally look at it, if you're being melancholy and nothing's really happening, but you're calling it out as the end of the world, it's literally like saying it's not the end of the world. You can fix an issue. Perhaps it's like saying it's the end of one era and the beginning of a new one. They give you the option to see it that way or give up where you are.
Yeah.
However, in the rest of the dream, there was a chihuahua. We have a chihuahua next door. His name is Mello. The name now makes more sense when I think about it relating to the dream, because he was on our stove, and he would shake violently. He was standing on it, and I was panicked because he was on the stove. And our mom was shouting at him not to put his paw near the flame because he kept reaching toward a flame under a hot pot, which was boiling. And at one point, even though she kept scolding it, it did reach over, and there was a loud explosion sound, and everything just blacked out. And the way that I see that is, now I think about it, literally something is harshing your Mello.
Yeah.
And it's already bad enough there is a boiling pot on the stove, and it's literally like saying that something's starting to burn up, or
it's reaching its boiling
point. It's reaching its boiling point. Thank you. That's the one I was looking for. But it's kind of like saying if you let something get way too out of hand or you don't take control of a situation, it will pretty much implode.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Do you know how really, it's not creepy, but how awesome it is you two run around the house and see these cryptic messages. And you even do it to me. I'll be sitting there. I'm not even thinking of something, but I might say something in a dream or say something. You'll be like, Mom, stop and just listen to what you said.
It's kind of become everyday life.
What I say. You know, now I'm getting to the point I do kind of pay attention to things a little bit more, but that's because they kept saying to me, Mom, yeah, there's a heads up on this.
When you become involved with messengers, it does become your life because it's almost like a deeper down the rabbit hole effect. Once you discover one thing, you discover another, and you just keep going further and further and further. And sometimes it can be disturbing when you're young into it because then you start realizing the world isn't really what it seems, or perhaps there's a lot of things being hidden by quite a few different people, government or whatever.
Right.
And maybe people aren't always what they seem. You'll find that one of the things that I love about dream symbolism, you can read a person from a mile away, where if they start randomly talking to you about a dream they had and you can read some of the symbols, you can tell how they are, what their life is like at the moment. It's like being given vital information. You can read them by the way they carry themselves, the clothes they wear, the way they treat people, or perhaps the stance they take. Maybe you can tell that they're shy or reserved by the way they might cross their arms or look down, or maybe they might scoot away from you if they don't want involved with you.
You can tell if they're lying to you or being honest to you just by whether they're holding eye contact or they shift a certain way.
That has always been a big one for me. If you can't look me straight in the eyes when you're talking to me, if you're looking down or looking to the side, that's a deal breaker for me, totally. But see, I'm more of the energy type of person. I get around people and my energy gets, no, don't do that, because that's just the way it is.
Another type with that is, I could see, one of the things is that is an obvious one for if someone's lying to you, if they claim to be telling the truth, they can't look you straight in the eyes. But another one I've learned of through myself or through others is if you just don't see literally eye to eye with somebody on a normal conversation, that literally presents through where you can't look them in the eyes no matter how hard you try.
Yes.
You're literally not seeing eye to eye.
I've also noticed shy people are a little difficult because sometimes no matter what it is, even if they are telling the truth, they won't look at you. it's a little difficult to explain that one.
Shy ones are a little more difficult to read. I think, though, with shy people, you could probably tell if they were lying because they'll probably trip up really, really badly.
Yeah, and it also comes down at that point to relying heavily on what you feel in your gut, because even if you're not fully understanding what you're looking at, the deepest part of you internally will. So if you feel like something isn't right about this, or there's something wrong, they're withholding something, it's usually right.
Yeah. I think we played off a lot of this during our working years at Terror Town with dream symbolism and things like that, where you could actually pull off of just by looking at a person and what you read. And not only for me was it a big part of looking at what they wore and how they carried themselves, I was going by what information was being fed up here into my head. The first things I picked up on were the things that I blurted. And any of the times that I would, it would either really freak people out or they'd get heavily defensive, which was the sign to me that I was right or I was hitting on something with them.
See, Joy reads symbols much faster than I do. Like, the one time she wasn't there, she had to be excused. I attempted to read symbols on people, but I would often hesitate or question, like, oh, no, wait, is that right?
I got excused because I had an asthma attack and I couldn't do anything. I was starting to get really sick.
That was hard. But for me, I do better watching people. Observing is what I've always ever done, so that's why it worked better that way.
I'm more outspoken, so I'm more likely to just go right at you, click, 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 without really even stopping to think about it.
See, though, I was better. I can't do well if I'm reading you directly, like starting first, but if somebody were talking to me, I could start playing off the symbols, because my character underground was a spider goddess, so more or less, I was playing a character that would be very good at manipulating somebody in their social circle. Because think about it, spider catching someone in their web.
I was supposed to be... Now that I think about it, like, what happened was, when we were working Terror Town, I was supposed to be the girl that worshipped the spider goddess. In this case, I idolized your character, and I was playing off of a character that would pretty much be trying to follow in your footsteps, become another spider goddess by trying to appease the spider goddess. I carried a rag doll, which you could look at as symbolically, not only this is a thing I'm doing for comfort, because it was like a bloodied version I have. I still have the doll of my Andy doll. Not only was it a form of violence or ruined or what is it I'm looking for? Whatever it is, it's just a ruined childhood kind of figure. But secondarily, you could look at it as I'm being a rag doll. I'm not taking action for myself. Instead, I'm just easily being manipulated by your character.
So the act we put on would be like kind of a waking dream, so to speak. We're putting a scenario in front of people that subconsciously they can read.
It was a big compliment to us, really, anytime someone came through and said they felt like they were actually in a dream. Because I'm like, it feels that means our energy field was conveying that.
So that highly implies that anybody who saw us doing this act underground basically was given a message by what we were doing.
I think one of the biggest symbols that I had, that I hated it when I couldn't say it the way I wanted to when I was working there, was whenever someone came through wearing either something referencing to a pig or a pig costume in general. Because I'm like, it says so much about that person and the way that they behave and carry themselves. And like, it makes me so angry when I can't.
Just so we're clear about this, because I totally forgot to mention, I just got absorbed in it. That falls in the class of symbols in waking life.
Yeah.
Because it's not just dreams that do it. It's really, if you pay attention to everything around you, there's usually a symbol. If you can't help but be drawn to something, there's something up with it. Sometimes if you look at an object, you might notice a pun in something you're dealing with, something you're listening to at that moment, or a thought.
It's also important to mention that symbols are universal, and literally every symbol known to man has a different meaning for each different person. I mean, there's going to be the general symbol given by an object or something, but there's going to be people who have personal understandings and encounters with an object or being in a way that they would understand it and that the dream could use it that way.
Right.
Like, for instance, let's say maybe, let me think, maybe for somebody a computer means to be relaxed or fun time or connections with other people. Somebody else might see it as stress and hard work because they might have to slave over a computer all day at their workspace.
Right. Another good thing to know, symbols are not bound by either religion or language. One object can have, like, a bunch of different meanings in it can mean different things in a religion. It can mean different things in another language.
It's actually expressed with quite a few symbols. Because remember I talked to you about, like, there's, especially the biggest one is numbers that I've seen.
Yeah.
Which number was it? I think it was, it might have been 5, 6, or 8. I can't remember. But whichever one it was, in Cantonese, sounded similar to the word no, which was often, I think, used for bad luck.
I think one of them in Japan is death. I can't remember if that's 4 or a totally different number.
4.
I apologize ahead of time, but...
I think it was 4.
So, over here in America, it can mean something totally different, but if you really wanted to be open about it, you can keep all the different language meanings for numbers open as well.
7 over here is considered lucky, while in some other countries, 7 is seen as being bad luck.
Right. Oh, my goodness. There's so many... What?
As you're starting to run out of gas, here's my thoughts to you. It is now 8:53.
Oh.
And the hour sure did fly by on us as we got really talking and going. We have the option to go a little longer, or you can stop here and come back for another show and continue your thoughts.
That might be easier, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to want to come back. I think when we come back, my sister and I, we made it clear we wanted to talk about romantic relationships with messengers, which can be carried between two messengers. Some of them may have more than one in their relationship if they all agreed to it.
Yeah.
There's some that are in relationships with humans and different beings of other worlds. That's, of course, going to be discussed another time. And we might both pick out a dream or two from each of us to try and read and decipher in that next one.
They can be straight, they can be gay or lesbian.
Any kind of lover exists, even ones that aren't even recognizable to our understanding, but all forms of love are accepted to them.
Right.
And on that note, I'm going to say that we had a really nice chat this evening, and as we go along in our series, that you're going to come back and speak again and talk about more things, the flow becomes easier, it becomes smoother and everything. So on this note, I'm going to say thank you for coming. Good night. All the love in the world to you. And remember, love in any form, human to messenger, human to angel, male to guy to guy, gal to gal, whatever floats your boat is the way to get through things.
All love should be accepted.
We love you, and we'll be back, and we'll post the show when we're going to be coming back. Take care. Have a really good night. Thank you for coming. Talk to you later.